Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. I'm the founder of Morris Invest, which is a full-service rental real estate company. I've done thousands of deals, and this is an opportunity for you to ask us questions about real estate, funding, finances, taxes, etc., and we try to answer them here on the show. You can always ask us a question, leave us a voicemail by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. When you go there, you'll be able to click on the little button to leave and record yourself for 30 seconds, and we'll dive into some questions here. Okay, so our first question today comes from Carlos. Carlos, take it away.
Hello, Clayton. My name is Carlos Rodriguez. Thanks for your contribution and teaching all of us on real estate investing. I'm 62 years old, and I have 4 properties on myself, direct Roth IRA. My question is, if I buy another property on myself, direct Roth IRA, having 62 years old right now, how soon I can withdraw money from that income that comes from that property that I just bought? Do I have to wait for any kind of maturity, or I'm okay withdrawing money immediately? Thank you very much, and take care, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Carlos. I appreciate the question. So it's about a self-directed IRA, which our team at Morris Invest can help you get set up with in about 10 minutes. That's how long it takes to get set up. And it's a powerful, powerful investing vehicle because it allows you to grow your profits tax-free. And then, you know, so if you bought a property when you're in your 40s inside of a self-directed IRA, all of that cash flow will be accruing and you don't have to pay taxes on it when it matures and you get to retirement age. You can start taking that money out and not pay taxes on it. It's brilliant. So if, and the question that Carlos is asking, you know, am I, when will I be able to take advantage if I buy a property now at 62 years old and I put it inside my self-directed account, when will I start be able to enjoy that cash flow? Immediately, because I'm past retirement age? And the answer is no. You still have to wait 5 years on that. So let's go through a few key points here on the self-directed IRA and the Roth IRA. You're never too old to fund a Roth IRA, because opening a later in life Roth IRA means that you don't actually have to worry about the early withdrawal penalty on earnings if you're 59 and a half, no matter when you open a Roth IRA. You have to wait 5 years, though, to withdraw the earnings tax-free. So that five-year period is important, Carlos. And then Roth IRAs are ideal if you want to avoid required minimum distributions and or leave tax-free funds to somebody in your family. So IRAs can help save for retirement. Many are at their peak in their earning years later in your career. So you might find, well, I can use this vehicle even later in life. You might find you have extra money available to invest after the mortgage is paid off and the kids have finished college. You're going to want to make the most of that money. Or you might simply, you know, I don't know, realize that your retirement savings calculations are coming up a little short. Don't feel bad, you know, whether it's the cost of living or poor investment performance over the years or just stuff happening. Many people find that they have saved far less than they need. So in any case, though, you might want to do whatever you can to make up for it while you're still earning income and you're making this income, and a Roth IRA is a great way to do it. So perhaps you've changed jobs, the new employer doesn't offer a retirement plan or a 401k, and it's up to you to have this money management arrangement. That's where a self-directed IRA is so powerful. And if you don't have high interest debt and don't have an emergency fund, you should contribute any income to those priorities first to pay off that stuff. But if you're all squared away on that, then contributing to a Roth IRA in your late 50s, 60s, and beyond, if you qualify. And what I mean is if you qualify, because if you hit a certain income, I think it's $131,000 for a single filer. If you make more, $139,000 for a single filer. If you make more than that, then you can't qualify for it. One good thing, though, about being older is that you one benefit of opening a Roth IRA is that you're never too old to contribute, since there's no age limit on making contributions to a Roth. And when you turn 59 and a half, you actually can still withdraw earnings from your Roth IRA without getting slapped with that 10% early withdrawal penalty. It was paused during the coronavirus stimulus bill, but it'll be back on soon. And you can open your first IRA at age 58 and start withdrawing earnings penalty free a year and a half later. So that's another reason to open one at that age too, and have that money growing tax free. So they had that 5-year rule. Any money you put into a Roth has to stay there for 5 tax years if you want the earnings generated to be tax free when you withdraw them. And of course you do. So this rule doesn't apply to each contribution or each account. Once you make your first Roth IRA contribution and 5 tax years go by, any earnings you withdraw will pass that 5-year test. So that's very, very important. You know, once you make your first Roth IRA contribution and 5 tax years go by, any earnings you withdraw will pass the 5-year test. Younger folks obviously don't have to worry about the 5-year rule, but if you open your first Roth IRA at age 63, try to wait until you're 68 or older to withdraw any of the earnings. You don't have to contribute to those accounts in that account in each of the 5 years to pass that 5-year test. This account just has to be 5 years old. So Carlos, I'm hoping that the account is not something you just set up a year ago. It has to pass that 5-year rule. I thank you so much for that question. Okay, our next question comes to us from Mara.
Hello, my name is Mara Pacheco. I am calling from Miami, Florida. And I have a question. Where can I get a HELOC for an investment property? The property's paid for. I just need a HELOC just in case, to have it open for emergency and for reserves. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mara. So she wants to get a home equity line of credit on an investment property. It's, you know, basically a second mortgage that works kind of like a credit card. You know, your lender gives you access to a credit line. You set a certain dollar amount, 50, 60, 70,000, whatever it's going to be, and you draw on that line of credit up to and as much as needed. That's how it works. Your credit line access is known as that drawing period. So it usually lasts for like 10 years is usually the amount of time that they can do this. You can get, yes, a home equity line of credit on an investment property. It is a little bit more difficult, and they are hard to find. The reason they're hard to find is because many banks consider it to be more risky. Think about it. You live in a house, your primary mortgage, you live in a house, and now you have an investment property and you have a mortgage on that, and you want a home equity line of credit on that investment property. If for some reason your income in life changes or you lose your job, most people are going to pay their mortgage of the house they live in first, so they don't lose the roof over their head. And so the reason banks see this as riskier is because they assume that they're going to be low man on the totem pole, you know, as far as you paying them back for this home equity line of credit. If you have a mortgage that you live in, plus you have a mortgage on the investment property, and now we're adding another mortgage. So they are difficult to find, but they are out there. So you can shop around. Easiest thing to do would be like go to LendingTree.com and put in what kind of mortgage needs you have, and they'll kind of shop it around. Another option for you is just to go to your local real estate meetup groups. There will be bankers there who go to those groups. So go to meetup.com and look for the local RIA meeting in your town. Connect with other real estate investors and talk to them about lenders that they've worked with locally for home equity lines of credit. You will find them. You just have to spend the time and shop around on it. You might, though, want to consider that maybe a home equity line of credit, is not necessarily the best option for you. I'll get to that in a second. There might be some better options that you might not have even thought of. But some things to think about in order to qualify for a home equity line of credit, you're going to need about a 720 to 740 minimum credit score on these types of loans. They're going to, you know, no 620. They're going to want to know that you really have the ability to pay this back. You're going to have a maximum, they'll give you a maximum loan to value ratio of about 80%. So let's say the house is worth $100,000. Right away, they're only going to give you 80% of that. If you had the whole thing paid off, right, the maximum they'd likely give you is $80,000, not 100% of that $100,000. Hope that makes sense. at a tenant occupying the property for a longer term. They want to know that the tenant has been there. There's a track record of this tenant paying. They'll need to see a lease agreement. They're going to want to see that this account and this property is taken care of, and that you're not totally reliant on this cash flow. Like, you have means to be able to pay this thing back. They're also going to want to make sure that you have at least 18 months of liquid reserves, 18 months in your account of liquid reserves in order to pay this back. So again, if the mortgage payment is $1,000 a month, they're going to want to see that you have at least $18,000 to maybe $20,000 in a bank account that could pay this loan back if you need to. So some things to consider, but here are some other options you might not have thought about. We have a funding tab right on our website at Morris Invest. So if you go to Morris Invest, you'll see funding right at the top. Now, what if you could get a 0% interest line of credit loan that's not a home equity line of credit, but instead uses business credit cards? So, and I was able to, in my first round with our team, our friends at Fund & Grow, and if you use our link, you'll actually save $500 on the sign up. But then you'll get a 0% interest loan that you can use whenever you want. And I was able to get $175,000 at 0% interest for the first 18 months. And you can use it for home repairs. I bought additional rental properties with that amount and then was able to refi later into 30-year notes with those mortgages. That's one thing to do. Another thing is maybe getting a personal loan. So it's not tied to the asset. You may qualify for a personal loan as up to like $100,000. That might be an option for you. There's typically no restrictions at all on how that money is spent. And maybe a cash out refinance would be a better option. Instead of trying to do a home equity line of credit, you know, if you've built up a significant amount of equity in the property, you might benefit from a cash out refinance. This type of refinance allows you to take out a new mortgage for more than what you currently owe. And the new loan serves two purposes: paying off your existing investment property loan and pulling equity out of your rental property. So it would pay off that first loan and it would give you that equity back in the form of a cash out refinance. So some options there, and I want you to think about them, but definitely check out the funding tab on our website at morrisinvest.com/funding. If you have 30 free minutes, you never have to worry about a break-in at home ever again. That's how quick and easy it is to set up a security system from SimpliSafe. It's the kind of thing that's so easy to do, you could just do it while you're like listening to a podcast walking around your house. Seriously, it's that easy. I know they say it takes 30 minutes, but mine took about 10 minutes. That's how easy it was to set up. SimpliSafe is incredibly easy to customize as well for your home. Just go to simplisafe.com/investing today to customize your system and get a free security camera. Yeah, they're giving away a free security camera. And you're going to get a 60-day risk-free trial. So there's nothing to lose. You know, I love SimpliSafe because you can customize it by putting different sensors on certain windows that you deem more accessible. Maybe the higher windows upstairs, you don't need them, but downstairs you do. You can pick and choose which sensors go on which doors. You can pick, windows. You can pick different motion cameras for certain rooms. So there's not a one-size-fits-all approach here. You pick it on their website how your home needs it. I mean, it's that simple. And it's easy to assume everyone in your house already feels safe, but they might not. And it's worth talking about. SimpliSafe is small, easy setup. Make sure that everyone feels safe at home. So at night, you flip on that security system, or when you're traveling, and your home will be protected. Again, go to simplisafe.com/investing to get that security camera for free and 60 days risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose. Check it out. Thanks to SimpliSafe. Okay, here is our next question from Kadeem.
Hey, how you doing, Clayton? My name is Kadeem. I wanted your take on purchasing one unit apartment, townhouse, and condos for rental. I know it can be a lot cheaper than purchasing a single family home. What is your take on that? Thank you.
Thank you, Kadeem. I personally, you know, at our company, we've actually built a series of townhomes that are fantastic. And one thing that we want to make sure, though, is there's no homeowners association. So, for instance, the townhomes that we built and I think they all sold out. I have to check with our team. But the townhomes, the only homeowners, there wasn't a homeowners association. There was just a groundskeeping fee that gets paid every month for them. It's like a $20 fee for cutting grass and snow removal. That's it. So there's no homeowners association. And homeowners associations, I am not a fan of. HOAs can keep you from, let's say you bought this property and there's a homeowners association. You thought you could rent this out, right? It was in the bylaws. So you rent it out. And then suddenly they change the bylaws. And now we don't want rental properties anymore. And now you're like, well, wait a second. I don't even live in this property. I bought it as an investment. And you're telling me because of the homeowners association bylaws, I can't rent it out now? What am I going to do? I have to sell it? What am I going to do? Also all of the, you know, HOA fees that you're going to be paying too, you have to be careful of within townhomes and condos, because you might think that they're cheap, but then once you start paying $300, $500 a month to a homeowners association, then it starts to get costly. Again, I'm just not a fan of HOAs, and I know it's difficult to avoid them when you're in places like Florida. They're everywhere, but you can find them. Just make sure that they're not restrictive. As far as prices go, I think it just is, it's subjective. I mean, we built townhomes in our West Texas market. We're also building single family homes and duplexes. And with financing built into all of those, and having the tax benefits that you're getting from a larger property and on your taxes and being able to accelerate that depreciation in that first calendar year, I think you might want to look at the numbers a little bit differently, not just at the actual outright purchase price, but pay attention to the HOA, pay attention to what some of those other things are included that you might not get from actually buying a standalone single family home. You know, look, I personally, I'm just a bigger fan of single family and duplexes. And even the townhomes we built were very, they felt like, I mean, single family homes. That's what they are. You know, they're big. You don't hear neighbors banging on the door walls and stuff like that. And tenants tend to stay a lot longer in these style of properties. The bigger the property, the tenants and family tend to nest and stay longer. Vaulted ceilings, more space in a good school district. Tenants will sign 5-6 year leases and be there for a long, long time. So I think that the smaller the property, the more transient the tenant. That's absolutely the case. So if you can speak to any commercial real estate investor who does, you know, big apartment buildings that have like 50, 60 units in them, those tenants, if they're certainly smaller units, they are going to always have a higher tenant turnover rate. So that's one of the benefits also of buying a single family or a duplex. The duplexes we build are very single family like. I mean, they look like, you know, the doors are facing the opposite way. You don't, you know, there's plenty of space, and they are, for all intents and purposes, it's like taking two single family homes and just kind of sticking them next to each other. So that's what I would consider, Kadeem. Don't be too caught up in that price when you can start to see that there's going to be some other hidden things in there, specifically the homeowners association, that you might not have accounted for. If you would like to ask a question, just go to our website, go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's where you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question, and we will answer right here on the show. We'll see you next time, everyone.